It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A new series at the L.E. Phillips Memorial Public Library in Eau Claire is called Dirty Laundry, The Dark Side of Genealogy. Guest speakers will present information on researching your family history and what happens when it leads to an uncomfortable discovery about your ancestors. How do you find information on an estranged family member when there are little records to be found? And what do you do if that search ends in more questions than answers? Anne Lowry is author of the novel The Blue Trunk, which is based on the experiences of her great-great-aunt Marit, and is one of the speakers in the series. Anne, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Kate. I'm happy to be here.
Your book is dedicated to Marit Sletmo with a birth year of 1886. What made you want to look into her story?
Well, my mother had her travel trunk when she immigrated from Norway, and her name was written in perfect calligraphy on the outside. And I was kind of like that name, Marit. I thought it was really pretty. And so when my daughter was born, I told my mother I wanted to name her Marit. And my mother said, oh, no, you can't do that. Marit was insane. Mm. So I didn't name her Marit, but it kind of hung with me through the years. And I kept thinking about what happened to Marit. So a few years ago, I started doing some genealogy research. And Marit had immigrated with my great-great-grandmother, her sister. And I was able to find a lot of information on her, you know, from census data and death certificate, marriage certificate, that kind of thing. But I couldn't find anything on Marit. But I knew that she had come because, well, we had the trunk. And also I had an autograph book that she had signed that was given to my great aunt. It was Henry. I don't know who Henry was. It was his autograph book, but Marit had signed it. That was in Trempealeau, Wisconsin, in 1889. So I knew that she was here. So I started to do some research then on insane asylums and found out that often people who were in asylums weren't counted in the census. They weren't often given death certificates. And many times they were buried in unknown graves. And then I found this cemetery in my hometown, Eau Claire, which I had no idea was there, that was attached to the old asylum. And they had many unknown graves there. So I concluded that perhaps she had lived there, had died there, was buried in an unknown grave. And that made me really sad. And so I wanted to reclaim her story. And so I thought, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to write a novel and reclaim Marit.
I so love that aspect of the story, and also that this trunk is on display in your foyer, that you keep it in your life and her presence with you.
Yeah, that's really important to me. And it, of course, after the book, it's even more important to me. I mean, the book is mostly fiction because, as I said, I ran into some barriers fairly quickly to find out what happened to her. But, you know, what she went through and what women in those days went through, and in fact, all people who were in asylums went through, you know, I like to keep that sort of close to me and appreciate how grateful I am, how far we've come dealing with mental health issues. And honestly, I'm not even sure she had mental health issues because a lot of people were put in asylums, especially women with hysteria, even though they weren't technically mentally ill. So I like to keep that close. I look at it every day. I see it every time I go in and out of my house. And it's important to me to know that I have that ancestor who went through some probably pretty horrific things.
It seems like some of your family members kind of erased the aunt after she was put into an institution for people with mental illness. What was that like, discovering you had this, you know, troubling family past?
Well, frankly, it wasn't surprising. My sort of understanding side of it is that they were Norwegian immigrants. They wanted to fit in. And mental illness in those days was definitely seen as a shameful thing in a family. But I also know, having grown up with her, let's see, her nieces and nephews, it would have been because my great-grandmother had died before I was born. They were very much into social status and social standing. Mm. And it didn't surprise me really to find out that, you know, my mother couldn't even mention her, talk about her. And my mother said, oh, I wish I would have asked more questions about her. But, you know, those were times when people were just, they were erased and their existence was erased. And I've had people contact me through my website sharing similar stories of ancestors that they had as well.
The series at the Eau Claire Library is called Dirty Laundry, and wondering how the notion or the idea of dirty laundry, of shameful history, how that has changed over time. What are your thoughts?
I didn't come up with the title for that. That was the library's. But I think that, you know, shows like Roots, a better understanding of generational trauma has helped us all. And people be more interested in ancestry, you know, ancestry.com, those kinds of things, I think have helped us sort of look or be more interested in our past and where we came from. And, you know, I think there are different ways that people can deal with it. One thing I will say about doing genealogy research is if you find something like this, first of all, make sure that you think that the information is actually truthful. In my case, as I did a lot of research on women in institutions in the early 1900s, as I mentioned, a lot of them were diagnosed with hysteria, which, frankly, the list of symptoms is so long. Any human being could have been diagnosed with hysteria. Mm. Any of us today could be diagnosed with it. And it was a way that they put people in, you know, especially women were put away in institutions. A friend of mine has found in her history that her great uncle was accused of murder and convicted of murder. But if you come from a background where you have been mistreated, you know, if you're a person of color and historically you've been mistreated by the justice system, just because you find someone who maybe had some criminal activity doesn't necessarily mean that was true. Maybe they were unjustly accused and unjustly imprisoned. So the first thing I think is to step back a little bit and say, okay, what is, you know, is this true? Is this accurate information? And then from there, I think people have a couple options. They can go forward and with that information and, you know, forget about it or sort of own it as part of where they came from, or, you know, they can do something with it. In my case, I decided to try to change the generational piece of that for me, which was to write historical fiction. But people can do things like, you know, write in their journal and say, what do I wish that my family history had been instead of this? Or, you know, write a short story, or if you're not into writing, you know, do an art piece or anything that I think in your own mind can replace or kind of retell the story, because that can be very healing, which writing this book was for me.
Hmm. What did you learn about the Eau Claire County Asylum and Poor Farm? What was the poor farm aspect of it?
Yeah, it was where indigent people went, and they worked on the farm and came up with produce. They had gardens, and then they sold it to the public. The asylum part was, of course, for mentally ill people. I understand, I've been told that the closure of the asylum began in the 1980s, and by 2015, none of it remained. But, you know, until then, it was actively used as an insane asylum and a poor farm. I found a report that was written by the superintendent in 1931. The medical doctor at the time has a short report in there about the people who were there, and he calls them inmates. Mm. And I was so struck by that because I thought, oh, that's telling about what happened there. I have talked to a woman who worked there later, and she said that people were treated very well and with respect and dignity, but she worked there later. I suspect in the early years, that wasn't the case.
We're talking about discovering what happens when your family research leads to an uncomfortable discovery about ancestors. Anne Lowry is with us, author of the new novel, The Blue Trunk. And there's this opening scene in your novel about the family that is, you know, there's a fire sweeping across the island in Norway. How much do you know about the circumstances of Marit coming to this country and what she might endured in the passing, going from home country to the new country?
Well, the story of the fire is accurate. That's historically accurate. However, Marit wasn't a part of that fire. That's fiction.
Okay.
But I can tell you that the research I did on the voyage over was difficult for people. People were in crowded conditions. Many people were seasick the whole time, especially if you were in steerage, you know, the lower class part of it. It took about 3 weeks in most cases for people to get across the ocean. The part where she settles in Eau Claire is accurate. I have been told that they immigrated through Canada. Those records are a little bit harder to find, but in the book I have them coming on by train to Eau Claire. and, you know, getting off in Eau Claire and finding a very, very different kind of city or town than she was used to in Norway. And she, you know, mentions to Charles, who is her sister's fiance, well, where's the water? Because she's lived on the ocean and near the water, and Norway is full of water. And he said, oh, we have the Great Lake. We have the big lake up north. So she hadn't seen Lake Superior yet, obviously. So
is there a question in particular you really regret not knowing about her?
Well, I certainly regret not knowing about what her life was like, but I suspect I know that's what it was. I'd also be very, very curious to see if she was what she was diagnosed with. Mm-hmm. The diagnoses I put in the book are fiction, but some of the diagnoses for the other people in the book are not fiction. And she meets a poet when she's in Eau Claire, who's actually based on a real character who was, in fact, judged in Eau Claire, went through a trial and deemed to be insane and sent to Mendota Hospital.
I also wonder if you consulted church ledgers, which can also be a really valuable source for researching family ancestry.
Yes, that's a really good question. I actually had a friend who, because we knew about the Blair Trempolo connection, a friend in my book club who did some church record searching there was not able to find anything. I looked, my relatives went to Grace Lutheran Church in Eau Claire, her sister would have, and I wasn't able to find anything through that either. So that continued to lead to sort of dead ends on every angle I took. And I did call the State Historical Society too, and they were also helpful in that they were unable to find anything as well. And again, reiterated what the National Archives has said is that, you know, a lot of asylum records have been destroyed.
So you have the birth certificate, you have the blue trunk, which is so treasured in your life, but you also have a poem that you discovered. Can you read the poem for us?
Yes. So this was the poem she wrote in the autograph book. And the thing that's so fascinating about that autograph book is that Henry obviously was a Norwegian immigrant because a lot of the signatures in it are in Norwegian, but Marit's signature is in this beautifully calligraphied writing in English, the same calligraphy that's on her trunk. So I know that when she was here, she was writing and functioning as a pretty sane human being. So I'm curious about that. But she had written this poem to Henry, and the poem's called The Waiting Time, and it's by Sarah Doudney, who is a British author, actually lyricist. She wrote hymns more than anything else, but I'll read it to you because it's quite beautiful. Youth and love are oft impatient, seeking things beyond your reach. But the heart grows sick of hoping ere it learns what life can teach. For before the fruit be gathered, we must see the blossoms fall. And the waiting time, my friend, is the hardest time of all.
Oh, that's so pretty. And I love how time is captured in the poem as well, because you have to go through time in order to be able to find bits and pieces of your ancestry and of Marit's life.
You know, it gave me a little bit of a peek into her personality a bit, because I, you know, like I said, I didn't know her and didn't get much information about her, but clearly she was interested in poetry. Clearly she was a romantic, and I don't know if she was writing the poem to Henry or just to whoever, but it gave me a peek into her life, and to see her actual writing was so powerful to me, because I was like, she held this, she wrote this, and that was quite meaningful.
Does it compel you to do more writing like The Blue Trunk?
Yes. In fact, I've already started on my next novel. My aunt, so this would have been Marit's great niece, was in the Women's Air Corps in World War II. She flew planes from, she was a WASP. She flew planes across the United States. And part of what people don't know either is that they did a lot of things other than that. They would often put a sleeve on the back of their plane and along like a kite type thing, almost a long sleeve. And they would fly over military bases, and the men, artillerymen, would shoot at the sleeve for target practice. And occasionally they would shoot the plane. And there were just under 2,000 WASPs, and 38 of them died in service to the country. there's been a few books that have been written about it, but I want to go back and do a little bit more with her. And mainly I want the book to be about friendship between these four women who went through this. But also, I think their story, similar to what Kristen Hannah has done with the women in Vietnam, I think their story needs to be told and needs to be remembered. They didn't have military benefits. My aunt got the Congressional Medal of Honor posthumously after her death. So I think that's a story that needs to be told as well.
Oh, that's fascinating as well. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's so good to be here, and I really enjoyed talking to you today.
Anne Lowry is author of the new novel, The Blue Trunk, which is based on the experiences of her great-great-aunt, Marit Sletmo. Her upcoming talk, it's part of the Dirty Laundry Genealogy Series at the L.E. Phillips Memorial Public Library. It is set for November 14th at 6 p.m.